Hello and welcome to the Friday, March 8th, 2013 edition of the Sands and its Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Baltimore, Maryland. As part of our IPv6 focus month, Rob is writing today about what he sees as the barriers for him to implement IPv6. One of the barriers he points out is, well, that there isn't really any NAT. Now, in his case, NAT is not meant to be a security device. However, it's meant to make it easier to manage the network, in particular if the external assignment of IP addresses change. So if you're, for example, changing ISPs and your network addresses change, what this means with IPv6 that you have to renumber your entire network if you use publicly routable IP addresses in your network. With IPv4, you do have the option to use NAT, and then you use a 10. or other RFC 1918 addresses inside your network, and you just have to reconfigure your firewall to apply new mappings from your new IP address space to the existing addresses, but likely you're not going to experience any at least internal loss of connectivity. Interesting point, of course, he points out that one way of avoiding this is by obtaining provider independent address space, but you aren't really supposed to do that in IPv6, and that will cost money. You have to pay an annual fee in order to obtain provider independent address space from Aaron directly or whatever your regional registrar is. And well, his other barriers of implementation are what you more frequently hear, that, well, his ISP doesn't provide IPv6 yet, and that it's a real pain to figure out whether all of his network devices are actually IPv6 capable. Just one note about the NAT part and using private addresses inside your network. There are unique local addresses in IPv6 that you could use. Now, the fact whether or not you should do NAT is somewhat controversial. There are a couple of vendors that do offer now a network gear that does perform NAT for IPv6, but there is no real standard for how to do that yet. And Microsoft released today its pre-announcement for next week's Patch Tuesday. We are expecting a total of 7 patches, 4 of which are critical and 3 important. 2 that sort of caught my attention. The first one evidently fixes a problem in Internet Explorer that can be used to execute arbitrary code. So that's probably something to pay attention to. And I expect here the regular rollout patch for Internet Explorer. Then for the Mac users, now there are Office patches that may apply to the Mac, but there's also a patch for Silverlight that points out that it also will affect the Mac, and this patch is again rated critical. You may not think about a Mac running Silverlight, but if you ever watched a movie on Netflix using your Mac, that's probably the most prominent application that required you to install Silverlight, so you may have forgotten that you installed it back when you tried to watch your first Netflix movie. Well, it looks like Twitter lost the consumer keys and secrets for its own applications. These are the OAuth credentials that the application uses to identify itself. If you would like to write an application that accesses the Twitter API, what you have to do as a developer, and Twitter has to do it for itself, for its own applications too, is that you do sign up for a developer account, and Twitter will give you these authentication credentials that your application will use to identify itself. Now, the problem with that is that these keys have to be embedded in each application that you ship to the user. So what probably just happened was that someone reverse engineered the application and managed to extract these credentials. Now, the way OAuth should be used, there shouldn't really be any special trust put into these credentials. So the damage should be minimum unless Twitter, for example, gave its own applications special powers. What Twitter has to do now is to essentially release an update for its applications with new credentials, but that's only going to last until someone reverse engineers the new version of the application, again extracts these keys. So this is really sort of a problem with OAuth. However, it doesn't really put the user's own credentials at risk. With OAuth, the application has to identify itself to the service, but then the user creates a set of keys the first time the user uses the application. So in so far, these user keys are then used to identify the user versus the application. Well, and this is it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.